Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce the four people who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back once again Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and Paul Merton. Will you please welcome all four of them? The creator of the Ghanaian Messiter has for many years sat beside me to keep the score. Unfortunately, he can't be with us this week, so once again, I'm fortunate having the lovely Anne Ling sitting beside me to do that particular chore. I'm going to ask our four panellists if they will speak on the subject that I give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, will you take the subject of beauty contests and talk upon that for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
I suppose the most popular form of beauty contest is the contest where young ladies of an approximate age between 19 and 24 parade around in various types of swimwear. Now, this is known as the Miss World contest, or it's also known as the
Derek Nimmo Challenge.
Repetition of known.
Yes. It is also known as, and Derek Nimmo got in there with a correct challenge. He gets a point for that, of course. He takes over the subject of beauty contests. There are 42 seconds left, and you start now.
I remember judging a beauty queen contest, and I asked this girl what her job was, and it was shorthand typist, and then for her measurement, she replied, 48, 22, 30. And I said, what do you do? And she said, fall over. And I thought that was a very interesting remark. I did actually judge when I was in Canberra one year.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of judge.
Clement, you've got in with a correct challenge and a point for that, and 25 seconds on beauty contests starting now.
I have an elderly friend who occasionally judges beauty contests, and he says the most successful thing to do is to make an appointment or an assignment with the ugliest contestant, ask her out to dinner, because she's incredibly keen to cut her losses and do almost anything that anybody who judged might ask of her.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of judge.
I thought you were saving him from straying into an area that we were found embarrassing.
I think he'd already strayed. I'm sorry. Oh, there are 1 second for you, Derek, having got in on beauty contest, starting now.
Glorious, lovely girl.
Whoever is speaking in just a minute, when the whistle is blown, gets an extra point, and on this occasion it was Derek Nimmo, so he has taken the lead at the end of that round, and we now move to Peter Jones to begin the next round. Peter, it is... Oh, this is rather apt. Robbing Peter to pay Paul. Will you talk on that subject, if you can, starting now?
I don't know why it's always that way round. You never hear of people robbing Paul to pay Peter, do you? I'm taking it rather personally, of course. But it really means taking money from one pocket and putting it in another, doesn't it, really? I suppose if you're rather short of cash.
Clement Freud challenged.
Couple of realies there.
A couple of realies, yeah. Bit of a tough challenge, but we have to be accurate. So, Clement, you have 46 seconds to tell us something about robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul is, I think, a pretty fair analysis of Conservative policy. I have been watching them do just that for the last 15 years or so.
Deviation. The Conservatives haven't been doing it for 15 years. They've only been in power for 10.
It's got nothing to do with that.
But
you can have a policy if you're not in power.
I take Paul's point. It may be their policy, but I think you did convey to me anyway that it was while they were in power that they were doing this, and therefore I give Paul the benefit of the doubt and tell him that he has a point for a correct challenge and 27 seconds to tell us something about robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
I make a habit of robbing Peter Jones. I go round to his house two or three times a week when he's not there, and I take his microwave, I take his cooker, I take his television set, and I've all got them round at my place. I won the Miss World Beauty Contest in 1978, and I find I have to keep up that lifestyle.
Peter Jones challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Why? I don't know. I don't know why.
It was a very bad year for contestants.
Well, he was deviating, don't ask me. He's probably been eating the wrong kind of mushrooms or something. It seemed to me he was taking leave of his senses.
He may have taken leave of his senses, but he can still do that and still play Just a Minute, as a lot of people have proved in this show. But what is your particular challenge of deviation, Peter?
Oh, it's so long ago now, isn't it?
The beauty competition?
Yes, the beauty competition.
All right, thank you very much. As long as we know, I have to be accurate. I get letters otherwise. Peter, you have 11 seconds to take
back. Don't you ever get any letters of congratulation? Are they all complaints?
No. Yes, I don't talk about it. I don't want to sound conceited.
I must show you my letter sometime.
Peter, there are 11 seconds for you to tell us something more about robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul is a strange conception. It doesn't really circulate the money.
Paul Merton challenged.
Is it repetition of really? Was that this round?
Yes, he said really. You said really
before. Well, that was in the earlier part.
I know, but you still repeated in this round of Just a Minute. So you said it twice before, now a third time, so that's
really
repetition.
Oh, well, probably I did, yes.
Paul, you've got in with 5 seconds on robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul is a concept which...
So, at the end of that round, let me give you the score, because it's pretty even, as you'd imagine. Paul Merton got the extra point speaking as a whistle wend. He's equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin the subject, capers. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
From a culinary or gastronomic standpoint, a caper is a bud which actually has no taste and a pathetic life, in that it blossoms at 11 o'clock in the morning and is dead by lunch. What you do with these things is you pick them and pickle them in salted vinegar, and they then become the most wonderful ingredient for a caper sauce, which I would recommend people should eat with boiled mutton. There's not a lot of that about now, but you can get lamb and mature it for a while. Ideally, there should be herbs as well, and cream and flour. Perhaps a bechamel would be a very...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, we're wandering a long way from capers now.
No, we're on caper sauce.
No, I think it was a caper sauce, the bechamel. I think it was
a wonderfully detailed description, I thought.
Yes, I...
I don't know how long you'd have to keep a leg of lamb until it became mutton.
Well... We know a few legs of lamb dressed up as mutton, don't we, Peter? No. So, but I disagree, unfortunately, Paul. So Clement carries on with his capers with 20 seconds starting now.
In the theatre, a caper is doing something unusual, perhaps manifesting great athleticism as you do it. For instance, I've seen people cut a caper, which doesn't, as you might have thought, mean take a knife and separate one part of a caper from another, but is perhaps...
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and now has gone into the lead. And Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin the subject. Oh, my goodness.
My goodness is not something that I normally talk about, although I am famous for it because every morning at dawn I get out of bed and kneel by the side of it and say thanks to the good Lord above, then take my wife a cup of tea, which is awfully surprising to her because she only rarely likes coffee, but she knows my goodness is something which she has grown to admire over the 35 years that we have been married, man and woman. I have to say that because I've already said the other thing before. So my goodness is something...
Paul Merton has challenged you. Yes, Paul.
Deviation from the subject of oh my goodness.
Yes, and he's gone on about, he said the other thing before, which was getting onto the subject of wives and women. You have 20 seconds on oh my goodness, Paul, starting now.
Is one of those expressions that people use when they don't want to swear. Instead of saying something very bawdy or perhaps irreverent, they say oh my goodness. Now, it's an expression which I believe was coined in the 15th century. Oh, no. I can't play this game. It's too hard. It's too hard.
It may be too hard, Paul, but your efforts are well appreciated, as the applause from the audience indicates.
I don't mind doing Sailor the Century if you want to bring that back.
That's easy, that is.
I think we should explain to all our listeners in all the foreign countries and China and Far East and everywhere.
No, I don't think we should.
Let it be one of the mysteries of life.
Sailor the Century was a quiz show which I hosted for 14 years in this country, and that is what Paul Merton was referring to. And that's
where they've got somebody else now, though, haven't they? They saw the light eventually.
4 seconds for you on Oh My Goodness, Clement, starting now.
Oh My Goodness is not an expression that I use very often because of my...
Once again, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. He's still got the lead. He's one ahead of Paul Merton, and then is Derek Nimmo, and Peter Jones is trailing a little. Paul Merton, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is Jack. Will you tell us something about Jack in just a minute, starting now?
Jack is a very common name for a man in the English language. It props up in the expression, I'm all right, Jack, which is...
Clement Freud, yes.
Hesitation.
Yeah, hesitation, right. You have Jack, and you have another point, of course. 52 seconds are left, starting now.
One of the most able and numerate greengrocers that I know is called Jack. He is quite brilliant at assessing the price of tomatoes, spinach, peas, beans, turnips.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
They're terribly boring as well, anyway. Turnips and greens and potatoes and rubbish.
37 seconds for you on Jack.
Jack can be a flag. Curious enough, the Union Jack isn't, in fact, a Jack. It's the wrong shape.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two in facts.
32 seconds for you, Clement, on Jack, starting now.
It's very odd that you should give me the subject of Jack, because I have a grandson of that name.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. I don't think it's odd at all. He won the point, so that's why he's got the subject of Jack.
As we've established that we've already spoken on the subject, yes, I quite agree with that. Good challenge, Paul. You have 27 seconds on Jack. Gather your wits and your breath. Start now.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell...
Peter Jones challenged.
Most improbable. You don't go up hills to get water. Water flows downhill.
No, but a friend of theirs had left a bucket of water up on top of the hill for them to pick up. They were strange people. I can't sort of explain their behaviour, but
I don't think they were up to any good. Just a story.
Well, that's
they told
their
parents.
Peter, we love your challenge because everybody knows it's a well-known nursery rhyme, except those people living in China. And
we've lost the people in China. I wouldn't worry about them anymore.
The people in China listen to this show to improve their English.
Well, they got no chance with me then, have they?
That's what I was going to say. You're not setting them a fine example at the moment. This is a nursery rhyme. If you wish to continue, you have 21 seconds, Paul, starting now.
Jack fell down and broke his crown, and his wife came tumbling after.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
How do we know it was his wife? It might have been his little bit of stuff. We don't know it was his wife. There's nothing in the poem to establish that.
Jack and Jill are
He went
very
out with his woman. He went up the top of the hill with it. It wasn't his wife.
No, well, I think there's every indication that it wasn't his wife.
If it wasn't his wife, established by Peter Jones, they were up to no good.
Which would indicate that it's not his wife.
We don't know, but it doesn't matter. So Paul continues with 16 seconds on Jack, starting now.
Jack Kelsey was a goalkeeper who played for Arsenal in the 1950s. He was also a representative for the Welsh national team, and his favourite position, of course, was between the sticks. He won 47 caps.
You should have gone on to say scaps and caps.
I know.
Because Derek got in with 1 second to go. Yes, they're not with you today, Derek, as they usually are. Well, not on this one anyway. So, Derek, you have 1 second to tell us something about Jack starting now.
Jack Ketch was James
II. Oh, someone's challenged you, Paul.
Hesitation, deviation, repetition.
No, I don't think so. So I think the whistle went before that. So, Derek Nimmer, you have a point for speaking as the whistle went. Well. So, the end of that round, Derek Nimmer is now equal with Paul Merton in second place, one behind Clement Freud, and then is Peter Jones. And Peter, it is your turn to begin. The subject, ignorance. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Ignorance has been a very good friend to me, and I won't hear a word against it. By that I mean that if I hadn't been ignorant at many times in my life, I wouldn't have attempted a number of the things that I have. And no modest achievements would have come my way because I would have been so inhibited by the knowledge of what might occur to me if I went wrong. I notice one or two people have actually put down their buzzers. I don't know why that is. I suppose they are so riveted by my address that they want to hear the end of it.
Paul Merton doesn't want to hear the end of it.
Deviation. I wasn't riveted at all.
It doesn't matter as long as he keeps going. So, Peter, you have another point. 25 seconds are left for you to tell us more about your ignorance, or anybody else's for that matter, starting now.
Of course, ignorance in other people can be a source of irritation to even the most patient of people.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you had far too many people, I'm afraid.
Yes.
So, Clement, you got in on ignorance, and there are 18 seconds left starting now.
I was going to talk about Nicholas Parsons' ignorance, but 18 seconds would be a wholly insufficient time.
Paul Merton has challenged.
Slight hesitation?
I think I would agree anything after what he was. So, Paul, you've got in very cleverly with 11 seconds on ignorance, starting now.
There's a story about a man who was addressing a party political meeting, and he said, "If ignorance is bliss, why are there so many unhappy people here tonight?" Which was his way of saying that he wasn't...
So, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, 1066. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
1066 is a four-figure number, and you can multiply 10 by 66, and it comes to 660. Or you could divide it and arrive at a figure of 6.6.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Tradition of figure.
Number.
Yes.
Four-figure number.
Yes, it's a four-figure number. Figure, right. So, Clement, Derek, you very cleverly got
that in. That certainly wasn't riveting.
So, Derek, you got in with the correct challenge and 47 seconds on 1066 starting now.
On the 25th of September, 1066, King Harold defeated the Norwegians at the Battle of Stamford Bridge. This followed the defeat in York a few days earlier. He then sped south, learning that Duke William of Normandy had landed on the coast near Hastings in the south of England. It was there that he established his...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
I disagree, Derek. You continue with 1066, starting now.
The event that 1066 is most famous for, in fact, took place some 20 miles from that coast. And the Welsh...
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of coast.
Yes, he sped south towards the coast.
And, yes, you're absolutely right. Well done.
Yes. And there are 16 seconds for you, Peter, to tell us something about 1066, starting now.
Well, the battle took place in a village which has taken that name. And Harold, unfortunately, received a blow when an arrow falling from high up in the air fell down and...
Paul Merton.
Deviation. You wouldn't describe it as a blow. He got an arrow right through the eye. A blow would be on the back of the head.
Be a hell of a blow to me.
A hell of a blow.
A major disappointment, perhaps.
Yeah.
But not a blow. A blow is like...
I disagree, Paul. Well tried. But you have 2 seconds, Peter. Continue on 1066, starting now.
And ever since that day...
We have a very interesting scoreline in just a minute for those who are involved in that aspect of our show, and that is that, well, some people are, you know. That is Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Paul Merton all equal in the lead and only 3 points ahead of Peter Jones. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject, drafts. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I think Peter Jones is feeling the drafts a bit at the moment because he's lagging behind the rest of us. And I feel a little sorry for him at his age, you know, because I think his mind's packing up a bit. It is rather drafty in here, though, in this room. I suspect that the curtains haven't been closed properly. I don't like drafts myself, except, of course, the board game, which is such tremendous fun to play, particularly if you can't manage chess. It's awfully difficult.
A Paul Merton has challenged.
Deviation. I don't think Peter Jones's mind is going.
It took your mind quite a long time to work that out, didn't it?
I thought I'd let you speak for a while.
Paul, I agree with your challenge. There are 35 seconds on drafts starting now.
Drafts is a very popular indoor board game. It's related in some ways to chess.
Clement Freud, challenge.
TV is not necessarily indoor. I've played drafts out of doors.
But it is popular to be played indoors.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, Clement. It's a popular indoor game. You could also say it's a popular outdoor
game.
It doesn't matter.
Point.
He wasn't actually deviating, so he gets another point.
Good.
And 30 seconds... 30 seconds to continue on drafts, starting now.
It's a game which in some way is akin...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of game.
Correct challenge, Clement. 27 seconds on drafts, starting now.
A draft is a sort of mild wind, less than a gale.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Sort of blew himself out.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Derek, you have the subject again of drafts, and you have 22 seconds left, starting now.
If you make a preliminary design for either a play or a drawing, you will produce perhaps a draft for other people to look at and decide whether you are, in fact, on the right course. Some of the drafts that I have produced in my lifetime...
Paul Merton, challenged.
Repetition of produce?
Produce and produced.
Ah.
Produced...
Produce and produced.
Produced and produced.
That's what I said.
Can't hear. Well, then your diction should be better. You say you should produce and produced.
You are the one who said that my mind was going...
Yeah, but Derek Nimmo's diction's gone. So he's maintaining...
It's never been his strong point.
So he was justifying the fact that the challenge was incorrect, and I have allowed it. So, Derek, you have another point, and you have 6 seconds on drafts, starting now.
When Nicholas Parsons lost the job in Sale of the Century, it was a very drafty experience for him. He wasn't pleased at all.
Challenge.
Repetition of Sale of the Century.
Yes, but unfortunately, Derek Nimmo didn't say it last time.
I know, but several people have said it more than once, and I'm tired of hearing about it. I had 14 years of it.
Give Peter Jones 2 points because we enjoyed it. That's how generous I am. There you are. And thank you for interrupting that ruderies from Derek
right.
Nimmo. But I have to be fair within the game. And Derek continues with 2 seconds on drafts, starting now.
Drafts are kind of winds that come from behind you and blow up...
So, at the end of that round, we have a score which shows us that... Derek Nimmo, speaking as a whistle, went gained an extra point, and he's just leapt forward into the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud and Paul Merton, equal in second place, and then comes Peter Jones. And it's Paul Merton's turn to begin, and the subject is cues. Will you tell us something about cues in just a minute, Paul, starting now?
A cue is a long piece of wood that is used in the game of snooker, or indeed in billiards. The current world snooker...
Clement Freud, challenged.
A sort of mixed hesitation.
Yes, yes. Clement Freud, you got him with the correct challenge. Another point. 52 seconds on cues, starting now.
During the war, there were cues for absolutely...
Derek Nimmo, challenge. What was your challenge, Derek?
Hesitation.
I think so. I don't know what he said, but it was all sounded jumbled up, so it must be hesitation. Derek, you've got in with 49 seconds on Q's, starting now.
Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet and comes after A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H-I-J-K-L-M-N.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
I think I can see the way this is going.
So it's repetition of letters?
Repetition of letters. Thank you, Nicholas.
Yes. But unfortunately, he can repeat letters because it doesn't deviate from the game. I must have to leave it with Derek with 39 seconds on cues starting now.
Q is a bit of hair that hangs down the back of your neck, which is twisted round, and you have to wear it with Malacca oil in it. And this four has...
Paul Merton challenged. Yes, Paul.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that hesitation. 26 seconds for you. You take back the subject of cues starting now.
The game is played on a green baize table. There are approximately 6 pockets on this particular piece.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Be approximately
no,
six
no, there are exactly 6 pockets.
There are either 6 or aren't 6.
Well, there may be an extra hole in the table. It may be a very worn table.
That was alleviation. So... there are 19 seconds for Derek on cues starting...
When I came to the studio tonight, there was a great long queue stretching round the building of eager people wanting to come and see, and indeed hear, just a minute, the popular game that has gone on for 23 years with Nicholas Parsons always at the helm, this brilliant...
Peter Jones are challenged.
Well, there are a number of inaccuracies in that account.
And I will tell you the biggest one, for the first time in his life, he wasn't being rude to me.
He
the
wasn't?
First time in just a minute. Well, what,
no.
was, what were the inaccuracies?
Well, the queue didn't stretch around the block.
I didn't say block.
Or building, or whatever. They couldn't stretch around the building because there aren't enough of them, and the building is too large. And I don't know how eager they were. One or two looked as though they were trying to get in out of the cold. And then, as for the repetition of Nicholas Parsons... I don't want to give him any more publicity.
Peter, we enjoyed it. You get the subject, as well as a bonus point, and you have 5 seconds not only to continue on cues, but to bring this particular edition of Just a Minute to an end, as you start now.
We are one of the greatest cue...
Paul Merton challenge.
I thought I'd like to give Peter Jones a point by getting an incorrect challenge.
Paul Merton gave Peter Jones another point, and he's... don't think it'll make any difference. He can't win, but... But you've got another 4 seconds, Peter, to try and bring the show to a close. The subject is Q, starting now.
Britain is
and,
a great...
Hemant Freud has challenged.
He could win, technically, if we kept buzzing
yes.
over.
So Clement Freud's just given you another point for an incorrect challenge, and you're catching up on the others, and you now have 3 seconds on Q, starting now.
Britain...
And, Derek, what did
well,
your
I think I'd better give him one as his yes, mind's Derek. Going. Yes. It might be the last time he sits here. You know.
Another incorrect challenge from Derek Nimmus. You have another point and you have 2.5 seconds on cue starting now.
England.
And Clement Freud challenged again. Clement, yes.
How many points does he need to catch up?
Well, he's now equal with you and Paul Merton, Clement, but he's still 3 points behind Derek Nimmer. And he's only got 2 seconds left, so I don't know. You have 2 seconds.
Do you get an extra point for speaking when the whistle goes?
And he hasn't started, Clement.
Hesitation,
you're correct, Clement, yes.
Yes.
Clement, you have 1.5 seconds You have, Clement, you've got a correct challenge there. 1.5 seconds on cue starting now.
I would like to cue the applause for Peter Jones.
There we are. So that lovely applause which Clement asked for Peter Jones, but I give it to all of them because they all give such tremendous value. Only 1 point separates them all, but it's immaterial who wins. But they were in ascending order as follows. Paul Merton, Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and 1 point ahead of him, Derek Nimmo. So this week we'll call Derek Nimmo our winner. So, as I said before, only 1 point separated these 4 amusing and clever exponents of Just a Minute. Our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. We hope you'll want to do the same thing again when once more we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye!